2025 was a big year for New Zealand's Ryan Fox on the PGA Tour. In May, he broke through for his first career tour win at the Myrtle Beach Classic. He chipped in on the first hole of a playoff to beat Mackenzie Hughes and Harry Higgs. Now, there's something about Ryan Fox in playoffs because the following month, he was at it again at the RBC Canadian Open. The fourth playoff hole, he hit this incredible three-wood to 7 feet. Fox would miss his eagle putt, but tap in for birdie to beat Sam Burns. Fox called that three-wood, quote, probably the best shot I've ever hit.
And his results have been pretty solid this season. He was tied seventh at the Genesis Invitational out at Riviera. The other three starts are all a tie for 24th. Well, Fox was sidelined during the week of the Players. He posted this on social media. Not exactly the week I had planned here at the Players. Unfortunately, some kidney stones took me down on Tuesday night and then had to be dealt with surgically this afternoon. Devastated to miss out on such an amazing event. Hoping to have a quick recovery and be back at it soon. And Ryan is back at it this week in Houston. Ryan, thanks for joining us. It's nice to see you looking healthy, but I got to ask you, are kidney stones as painful as I've always heard they are?
Yeah, it's certainly good to be back, but I can vouch for that. I have not heard any good stories from people that have had them or people that know someone that's had them. And after having them myself, yeah, they are absolutely brutal. I'm glad I don't have to deal with them at the moment. It was a horrible few days there, and it's nice to be back out on tour and feeling a lot better.
I know you were disappointed not to be able to play the Players, but can you walk us through that essentially 24 hours before you teed off? Did you know almost immediately that you weren't going to be able to play, or were you kind of fighting with it a little bit?
Yeah, it was a strange... I first got it on Tuesday night. I kind of woke up, thought it was a stomach ache, and then it turned out it wasn't pretty quickly, and I was rolling around on the floor, went to the emergency room. They gave me some painkillers, and I thought I'd passed it on Tuesday night and was going to be good to go and play on Thursday. And then Wednesday afternoon, it came back with a vengeance, and apparently the stone had just moved a little bit on Tuesday and relieved some pressure, and unfortunately it moved again on Wednesday and started causing issues again. And I was in the emergency room again for about 3 or 4 hours on Wednesday afternoon. The doctor was actually pretty confident if I passed the stone naturally during the night, I would have been able to play on Thursday, maybe with some pain relief and maybe be a little bit out of it, but I still would have been able to at least give it a try. Unfortunately, I had no relief during the night and went back into the ER about 6 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning. And at that point, I knew I definitely wasn't playing. And I saw the doctor again, and he's like, well, you've got no chance of passing it now. We've got to go in there and get rid of them. So they ended up shoving a laser somewhere, which it wasn't supposed to get shoved up, and they got broken up and vacuumed out, and I had a little tube in there for a week. So it wasn't a very fun little period there, but I'm glad it's over. It's a shame it happened during the Players week. I've obviously was in pretty decent form leading into it and was really looking forward to the week, but it is what it is.
I'm cringing for you just hearing that story, Ryan. How's the body feeling right now? How's the recovery?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I didn't touch a golf club for 10 days there. I got told no heavy lifting with the stent that I had in. Had that out on Friday last week and played a little bit of golf over the weekend, and everything felt fine. The body was a little bit tight, and I've had some physio the last couple of days, and everything kind of feels pretty good after that. Energy levels maybe not quite back up to 100, but outside of that, I feel pretty good. And golf game felt like it's been all right the last few days, so I'm looking forward to getting out there tomorrow and giving it a crack again.
All right, let's go for some good news here a little bit after all of that. You won twice last year in the PGA Tour. It was really a breakout season for you. How did that change your expectations?
I probably didn't change the expectation too much. It just changed the comfort levels a little bit. It took quite a long time to feel comfortable out on the PGA Tour for whatever reason. I think it's the tour I dreamed of playing for so long, and it just took a little bit to get feel like I belonged. And winning twice definitely made that a little bit easier. I always believed my game was good enough to compete with these guys, but it's always nicer when you've actually done it and you prove it to yourself. And I've felt a lot better since those couple of wins out here. Felt like I belong, and I can compete with these guys. And I guess there is an expectation there now that my good golf is competitive, and that's a nice place to be. I haven't quite found my best stuff this year, but it's been really, really close, which has been nice.
You're about to make your third Masters start, Ryan. What have you learned about that golf course and its challenges through the first couple of tours around?
I mean, the biggest thing at Augusta, you've just got to manage your game so well. Obviously, it's off the tee, it's fairly forgiving for the most part, but it's mainly about where your miss is off the tee, and there's a lot about coming in from the right side of the fairway. But, you know, round the greens, it's you've just got to make sure you hit it in the right place. You know, you've got to temper being aggressive. You know, there's obviously some pins you can get at with the slopes and everything, but there's some places around there that you just can't afford to miss it. And, you know, watching it on TV for so many years doesn't give you a great perspective of that. And then, you know, when you get to play there, you can understand why, you know, some of those misses, the guys avoid them like the plague. And it's probably taken me a couple of goes around there to kind of find all those places. I also feel like Augusta is one of those courses that, yeah, while it doesn't change much every year, I feel like every time you play it, you learn something new about the golf course, no matter how many times you've played it. There's just that much to it, especially around those greens. And I'm very excited to go back again this year and have another go.
Now, you played well here in Houston last year. You tied for 15th. We've talked a little bit about it this week. This golf course really favors the longer hitter. That seems to be one of the strengths of your game. Can you give me some specific examples of how you're able to take advantage of that power on this course?
I mean, it's obviously fairly wide off the tee this week, and not a lot of rough. I think they're trying to sort of mimic Augusta's setup in that regard. And I mean, there's, I think, four or five 500 yard par fours this week. And obviously the further down you hit it, the easier your second shot is. So that's one. I think there's a couple of the par fives too, you know, 8 and 16, depending on where they put the tee box. If you get a good drive away there, you can get there in two. Whereas if, you know, you hit it a little bit shorter, it makes them both three shot holes. And it's a strong test of golf this week. I really like it. It's while it's wide off the tee, you've certainly got to think around the greens. There is some places around the greens that you don't want to miss it as well. And having some length around here and hitting some shorter irons into greens in that regard definitely helps a lot too.
Ryan, we know you were sort of painfully occupied on the Wednesday before the Players when Brian Rolapp was giving his press conference and laying out a vision for the future of the PGA Tour, or at least the broad strokes of that vision. Do you sense any anxiety in the locker room just in terms of what the details of that are going to look like in the future, or is everyone still playing a kind of a wait-and-see game?
I think everyone's playing a wait-and-see game at this point. The couple of meetings that player meetings that we've had that Brian's spoken, everyone's been very impressed by him, and I think he's put across that he's not going to make decisions without talking to everyone and making sure it's right for the tour going forward. So, you know, while we know there's going to be some change, I think inherently at this point we all kind of trust that he's doing the right thing, he's doing his due diligence. He's talking to the right people, and you know he's got a pretty good vision for the tour going forward. And I think, you know, between him and you know all the other people involved in making those decisions, I think the tour is going to be in a better place in a few years because of it.
Ryan, thank you so much for your time, and we're both glad you're pain free. We hope you stay that way.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm very glad I'm that way too.
Well, the PGA Tour champions is out in Southern California this week. Newport Beach. Retief Goosen has been a winner there, also a winner at an upcoming major venue. We're going to chat with him about both of those coming up next. And Retief Goosen you see in the field there, he's a past champion of this event back in 2022. Started the day one stroke behind Ernie Els, his fellow South African. They cruised to a four-shot victory thanks to an 8-under par round of 63 in the final round. That was just another entry in what has been a Hall of Fame career. He's won two US Opens at Southern Hills and Shinnecock Hills, 7 times on the PGA Tour, 14 times on the European Tour, and of course those 4 on the PGA Tour Champions. We're pleased to be joined now by Retief Goosen from Southern California. Retief, good to see you. You've won 4 times out there on the PGA Tour Champions. You were third in your first start this year. You won as recently as September. Do you feel as though you still have a lot of competitive years left in you, that the game and the body is holding up well?
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, we all think so, but you wake up every morning, you know, with something else that's hurting. Lately, I've been having a little bit of a sore thumb that's irritating me a little bit on some of the shots. But, you know, you just got to grind through it and take the old painkillers out there on tour day everywhere on the counters for everybody. It's so great to be out here on a Champions Tour still and compete. You know, we're very lucky that in golf that we can still compete at our age. You know, so many other sports that once you hit 35 or 40, you're done. It's great to still hang out with the guys and compete.
You look at 2025 for you, Retief, and it looked like one of the most consistent years you've had on the PGA Tour Champions. At 57 years old, what are the challenges at this point? You talked about maybe the little injuries. What are the big things?
Well, you know, for me, last year, I played okay. My putting wasn't up to standard. You know, out here on a Champions Tour, every week you're going to have to shoot 15 under plus for three rounds to have a chance to win. So putting is crucial. And I would say my putting hasn't been really up to standard, not making the putts you used to make. It could be the stroke. It could be just reading the greens. So it's putting is such a confidence thing that you need to be really zoned in on your line to be able to make a good stroke. If you don't trust your line, you tend to underhit it or overhit it and just not get the right pace.
You're known to all golf fans, Retief, for the couple of U.S. Open victories that you had in dramatic fashion on tough golf courses. You were also very close at the Masters, which is now just a couple of weeks away. You were second twice. You were third twice. Do you look at those majors as Masters that got away from you when you look back on it?
Yes, I would have loved to have won at Masters and actually have teed it up there in a couple of weeks' time. You know, Ernie has been there close so many times too. So he knows how it feels. I know how it feels to finish second and, you know, one or two shots here over the week, you know, makes the difference. But, you know, I'm going to be back going there for a few days in a couple of weeks, going hang around there with some of the guys and with Mitsubishi Power boys and see some good old faces there too, and memories, definitely.
Now, one of those big events that you did win was 2004 at the U.S. Open. That was at Shinnecock. We're going to be there later this year for the national championship again. What do you remember doing so well that week, and what are the keys to playing that golf course?
Well, the one thing I do remember that week is I putted well. if I can putt like that every week, I'll win every week. But, you know, generally the guy that wins every week is somebody that is ranked one or two in putting for the week. And at the U.S. Open, if your putting is hot, because you know you're going to have so many putts for pars at a U.S. Open that is crucial to make because it's so tough tee to green. And you are going to miss the greens, and you're always going to have these 5, 6, 7 footers for pars. And putting is going to be crucial, definitely. And Shinnecock, those greens, when they dry out, we all know what happened that year when I one day, and when Brooks one day, I think it was in 15 or 16, you know, the guys were struggling to keep it on the green with a putter. So it is a tricky golf course.
That was one of about 40 wins you've had in your career, Retief. You won all over the world. You're very much a global player in the same way that Ernie was. So much chatter these days about the potential changes in the PGA Tour and whether the tour should actually focus a little bit more outside the United States, certainly towards the end of the year. Would you be in favor of the PGA Tour taking a more international approach and bringing the game to other golf-savvy countries like South Africa and Australia that maybe don't see the best players enough?
Well, that would be great. The question is, will the guys travel? You know, some of the top guys, they are so comfortable over here now and they're playing for so much money. Why should I travel abroad to go and play over there for maybe the same kind of money? You know, me and Ernie and a number of other guys, we traveled the world and took the game globally. It will be a experiment for the PGA Tour, I think, to to do that and see what happens. The question is, will the guys travel to go and play abroad?
Now, you mentioned, will the guys travel? Under this potential new PGA Tour schedule, the idea would be the tour wants to own the summer. That's 25 events roughly in a 30-35 event week window. The idea that you did travel back in the day, what would be the challenges of trying to play that schedule as well as the schedule that you played internationally?
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge. When you're young, you can do it. It's easy. There was years I was playing 35, 38 tournaments worldwide. Now the guys complain if they play more than 15. So I don't know. The mentality seems to be the guys just want to stay at home more. We didn't play for the kind of money they're playing now, so we felt we had to travel to go and make some good money. Now it's a little different. The guys playing for all this massive money over here. Bonuses and all sorts of other things. The PGA Tour is trying to stop the guys also maybe from going to the LIV Tour. So they're coming up with all these incentives to keep the guy on the PGA Tour. And so let's hope it works. I mean, it's only something the PGA Tour can try and see. Let's see if the guys will travel and go and play abroad and promote the game, like me and Ernie, Gary Player, obviously also over his years played worldwide. It's a lot easier now to travel around the world. There's so many flights and things you can fly, but these guys got so much money, they can fly everywhere in their private jets.
Should make life a lot easier for them. It's certainly an experiment worth taking. Retief, we hope you find the painkillers necessary to get you through the week, and good luck on trying to get a second title out there.
Thank you.
Well, next week, an international field of the top women amateurs will compete in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. First 36 holes played at Champions Retreat, the final round at Augusta National. The field is cut to the top 30 players and ties after those 36 holes. Coverage begins Wednesday, April 1st on Golf Channel. Now, Elizabeth Rudisill is making her championship start this year for the first time. She started her collegiate career with three top 10 finishes in the fall schedule, including a win in the Ron Moore Intercollegiate in Colorado. Earlier in 2025, she finished runner-up in the Women's Western Amateur in Michigan and tied sixth in the Girls Junior PGA Championship in Indiana. In 2024, four-time Junior All-American won the Rolex Girls Junior Championship, finished runner-up in the Girls Junior PGA Championship in Maryland, reached the round of 16 in the North and South Women's Amateur, and represented the United States in the Junior Solheim Cup. And Elizabeth joins us now. Elizabeth, it's quite a resume you've put together this early in your career, and you've had such a solid start to your college career. I'm curious what your confidence level is like heading to the Augusta National Women's Amateur.
Yes, thank you all so much for having me on. I'm super excited for the Augusta National Women's Amateur. My college coach, head coach Greg Allen, is actually caddying for me, so that definitely boosts the confidence level. He is so supportive, and I could truly not ask for a better coach. He's walked with me a numerous amount of holes in the fall and spring season, and so that confidence and support that he gives me hopefully should continue at the Augusta National Women's Amateur here in a few weeks.
I've seen pictures of players who've gotten the invitation into that event a few times. The smile on your faces, it seems like such a great moment. What were the emotions like when you pull this, I assume, out of a mailbox and start opening it up?
Yes, my parents actually got it first and they're like, oh my gosh, what is this? And they mailed it up to me, up to Vanderbilt in Nashville. And it was just amazing. I've gone to the Masters several times as a kid, and just to be able to play there in competition, hopefully. And I mean, the golf course is just filled with such great tradition, and it's one of the best fields in the world for women's amateur golfers. And I could not be more excited.
What's your favorite memory of having been to Augusta National as a patron over the years, Elizabeth?
Probably I've gotten the opportunity to go with my best friend multiple times, and it's just so special because we both love golf, but I mean, seeing people without phones and just really taking it all in with the scenery, it's just so amazing.
You think that will be an advantage or a help to you when you go there to play in the Augusta National Women's Amateur, when you've been on site so often, you're not quite as awestruck as people who are perhaps going there for the first time?
I'll definitely be awestruck. I think it's pretty hard not to be when you step onto that property. But hopefully it will calm some of my nerves. I'm sure if I make the cut, I'll be extremely nervous. But I mean, I'm just lucky to have another opportunity to step on grounds at such an amazing place.
Now, you've had the experience as a patron. What are your expectations as a competitor when you go back?
Probably just focusing on what I can control. That's what my coaches always tell me. I'm honestly just trying to have an amazing experience at this tournament. It's an astonishing field, and getting to spend the week with my coach on the bag, with my family, being able to watch. I'm just trying to enjoy every moment. And at the end of the day, it's just golf. And no matter the score, I'll remember this tournament for the rest of my life.
Now, it's been a minute since Eamon and I were on a college campus. I'm guessing you're between classes right now?
I actually just finished my classes, and then we're heading off to Clemson University's home tournament in about 2 hours. So I'm just sitting outside. The weather's beautiful today.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time, and good luck next month at Augusta National.
Thank you all so much.